You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, September 22nd, 2019, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' And the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do when I am dismissed as manager. People may welcome me into their houses.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So how many of you believe that this parable doesn't make any sense at all? I do place it in the top five, at least in my own mind, about difficult parables to try to unpack. But I'm going to do the best I can. How in the world could Jesus use a very dishonest money manager, fired because of his incompetence and his wastefulness, to illustrate an important spiritual principle? Is there something in the Ten Commandments about not stealing or lying or manipulating others to get your own way? And yet, God seems totally capable of surprising us time and again. So we are so certain sometimes about sketchy people in our lives or maybe a moral dilemma in our own minds that we're certain will bring no good. But is it possible that the ends sometimes do justify the means? Interestingly, Jesus uses several other places in the gospel to draw object lessons that, let's say their actions from less than perfect characters. Take, for example, the wise and foolish virgins. Remember those selfish, wise virgins who wouldn't share their lamp oil with those who were unprepared? Or how about the parable of the unrighteous judge who didn't fear God or anyone else for that matter? He only very reluctantly agrees to help a widow who is badly in need of vindication from her accusers. He is only helpful because she's getting on his nerves from her continually asking for help. God seems to be saying that he can enter into our contradictions, our paradoxes, all the things that are messy about our human lives and bring out something good and holy and even inspirational. We always have the capacity to be more than we think we can be, and God for sure can do more than we think he can do. One of my favorite illustrations about this is from my own life when I was close to graduating from Princeton Theological Seminary many moons ago, I must say. I'll never forget the self-righteous remark I made on the eve of my graduation. I was 25 years old. I learned that one of the principal signers of my diploma was the late Sir John Templeton, arguably one of the most successful mutual fund managers of the 20th century. I remember saying very cynically to my classmate, "Well, how ironic that we would have one of the most celebrated capitalists in the world sign off on our theological education." To which the more worldly wise classmate responded, "Steve, have you wondered why our tuition is considerably less than comparable seminaries and divinity schools?" "Well, no, I don't know why." "Well, I can tell you why. Since Sir John Templeton became the chair of the board of the seminary, the endowment has tripled. This has allowed the seminary to grant a 50% reduction in tuition fees for every single student who attends here." This information stopped me in my tracks, self-righteous tracks, I must add. You could hear the air deflate from my ego. And I could barely afford to go to seminary. I knew that. And I knew that the chances of paying off a large loan on a minister's salary would be, well, very faith-filled, if not impossible. This capitalist, this devout Presbyterian, John Templeton, and so many others like him, has made my ministry possible. In fact, there is a chance that I might not be even here today, this morning, if it hadn't been such a strong legacy of support from the seminary community and from the wider church, including my own home parish church, which paid for 3 years of tuition while I was at the seminary. Now, back to the dishonest manager. How do we navigate and invest our resources in a shadowy world in which evil is sometimes disguised as good and good is sometimes disguised as evil? It's hard to see what our spiritual legacy could and should be. In the case of John Templeton, he walked the fine grained line, I must say, between being a man of the world and a man of Christ. Coming from a family background of modest means, John Templeton financed a large portion of his university education at Yale by playing poker. I kid you not. Known throughout his life as the great contrarian, doing things that seemed to be the opposite of what was expected or common sense, he launched what would become a several billion dollar empire. He began right after the stock market crash of 29. Stock was very inexpensive, $1 a share. He held on to it until after the war, and he made a lot of money. So was he a predator preying on distressed companies and people's misfortunes, or an extremely wise and gifted money investor who, like the dishonest manager in today's gospel parable, shrewdly seizes the moment when no one else had the guts, imagining something greater than what everyone else could see? Later, Templeton went on to become one of the great philanthropists in history, giving over $1 billion before he died, and now the foundation continues its work. Many of you have heard of the Templeton Prize for Progress in Religion. The first recipient was Mother Teresa. But again, Templeton's life was surrounded with questions and ambiguities about his character and his motives. When in 1968 he renounced his American citizenship and became a citizen of the UK and the Bahamas to avoid paying $100 million in taxes to a country, the United States, that had made him wealthy. Back to the parable. You choose which one we're talking about. In the parable of the dishonest manager, we see a morally challenged steward of resources about to be dismissed from his job, but is savvy enough to see into the future and to seize an opportunity. He does so by cutting deals with those who owe his master money, knowing that those debtors will be obligated to welcome him into their homes after he has lost his employment. He is definitely thinking ahead. He used the economic system to his advantage, that is, to survive, but to spiritually survive. That's what Jesus is trying to get to, right? How do we spiritually thrive? I believe that Jesus is showing us that, no, he's not blessing us being dishonest and cheating people as a matter of course, but what are the motives that he's able to redeem? Because apparently he can do that. I believe that Jesus is saying that we should do what is all in within our disposal to prepare for what is truly lasting. Enter into a door into our own eternal homes. Jesus calls us to embrace the step-by-step journey which will eventually disentangle us from finding out our loyalty to God and our unhealthy attachments, all these attachments to wealth and security that leave us empty and without a spiritual legacy. While we're living in this world, we are often find ourselves serving, in fact, at least two masters, if not more. But in the end, God does win, for he is able to use even the unrighteous mammon, the so-called tainted or dirty money of this world, and the not yet fully redeemed money managers, which all of us that have a mutual fund could very well fall in this category. He can use this for our, not only our growth, but his benefits. In the footsteps of John Templeton, we may all claim our successes in the earthly realm so that we can turn to the heavenly realm where our legacies can be turned into lasting riches. It's a mystery how this all happens. We always have the capacity to be more than what we think we appear to be, and God can do far more than what we think he can do. Amen.
Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.